You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
And we'll put all our madness talk on hold, although Pat will talk the tournament. You know, he's in a couple of brackets. All right, he and his buddies, they have a draft. They just draft teams in the tournament. Pat Kerwin of NFL Radio's Moving the Chain, CBS's NFL Today Show, joining us once again, courtesy of Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, a dozen locations in between Pinchers where you can't fake fresh. So did you draft Kentucky or did you escape last night?
Coach Childress, former head coach of the Vikings, he took Kentucky. But when the last pick of the entire draft, he took Oakland, and he's quite proud of himself this morning.
Well, so he took Brock Purdy, basically. His seventh round pick, yes. He took Purdy.
Yes. So we're having a good time, lots of laughs, and we have a bunch of guys in it. So one guy couldn't make it, so we had decided to let him in anyway because he was the winner last year, and we all want our money back from last year. So Coach Childress picked for him. And you know what he did? He just only picked teams in the East bracket. So he's basically guaranteed to get to the Final Four. We're furious with Coach Childress about this.
One of the best drafts Coach Childress ever had, and it was for someone else.
I'll make sure I tell him that, Mark.
You know, Pat.
Maybe at a hockey game when you're with me.
That's fine.
Listen, Pat, we joked over the years that if we ran a pro personnel department, you know, we'd just limit it to, listen, we're only going to draft players from these 15 schools. I mean, that's just what Childress did. He's like, well, I'll take these 8 schools from the SEC. I'll take these 6 schools from the Big Ten. And, you know, I'll look at the occasional kid from Notre Dame.
Well, that's the problem. He was a coach at Wisconsin. And my brother played at Illinois. And they're both in this. And you know what? They gobble up the Big Ten schools like they're definitely going to get to the Final Four. Go get them, fellas. You can have Wisconsin, Michigan State to go for it. They haven't won in years.
Well, neither is the Big Ten, Pat. It's been since 2000 for the Big Ten, so it makes sense. All right, owners' meeting's coming up. We've got rule changes. They are not going to ban the tush push. What are we expecting out of these owners' meetings?
I think some of the things, first of all, I'm going to be there with Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and I'll hear all the scuttlebutt on Sunday. People are pretty relaxed at this. So the first thing I think guys are worried about or concerned about, and I should put you two in charge of this, they're starting to tell me they don't feel like we've figured out the kickoff with all the ramifications that might come with it. So, you know, they might come up with a plan that everyone likes, but I have a suspicion, as usual, it'll get pushed off till May because there's too many things in there that have to be figured out. So we'll see what happens with that. So like I gave one example, I said, what are you doing about this? The ball gets kicked off, it's windy, and it doesn't make it, and it hits one of the front walls of the return unit, one of the guys right in the chest, and bounces back. Now, is that a dead ball right there? Is that what that's going to mean? Lots of things like that. Now, the guys that I've talked to that coach special teams, they're already thinking they'll be too deep, and I'm talking about covering the kicks. They're going to kick into a corner and slant their whole 10-man front right to that corner and try to dump, you know, and now all of a sudden you're talking about returns that aren't going to get out very far. There's more confidence that they can cover this than they can return this. And this is all for returns. We're going to have a lot of returns. And the injury rate will go up, and then someone will think this was a bad idea. But there's too many questions. And when I report to you guys Tuesday morning, they'll be voting on it on Tuesday. And by then, I'll have a very good sense if they're even going to get it through. So that one, the tush push, here's the problem with that. It is dangerous. But since no one broke their neck yet, they're not addressing the safety. So they keep talking about, they think it should. And the media is the worst. They think it should be canceled because of the success rate of Philly. It's not the reason they should cancel it. It's extremely dangerous. I talked to young Mr. Kelsey, who is in the most dangerous position for Philadelphia, and he knows what it is. When you're at the bottom of that pile and your head is down and there's a guy pushing right on your head from the other opponent and someone behind you pushing you, There's no way. And I asked him this question. I said, could you scream stop? And they'd stop because there's no way. And I knew the answer. I just wanted him to be on record as saying it. So if someone gets caught in a tough position down there, we're going to have a major injury. And then all of a sudden, they're going to look at this differently. But so they're not going to talk about it. They're going to let that thing go for now.
Have you gotten anybody with the NFL to tell you what made them change? You never used to be able to push someone from behind. They wouldn't let offensive linemen push the pile. You couldn't push the quarterback from behind on a quarterback sneak. And then obviously they started allowing it. Why?
They always like to tell you it started when they watched Reggie Bush push Matt Leinart into the end zone in a college game. I go, that has nothing to do with pro football. That's their problem. It's in the books. You can't assist players. And then they'll tell you, well, we don't let them pull them in. So that was the old trick too. So no, it's negligence in my mind of assisting players. If you watch as much pro football as the three of us, your listeners, you'll see what they're doing. They've taken this to another level, and it's subtle. But on zone runs now, once that zone run right takes off and he's starting to cross the line of scrimmage, the left side of the line is scooping in behind and starting to assist him.
Yes.
So once they, you know, let this happen, the smart guys have figured out how to keep doing it in every other dimension. So pretty sad. And when I ask them, they go back and reference the Reggie Bush thing. I go, what are you talking about?
Also, that was 2005.
Do you know
how many changes have been made to the NFL for quote-unquote player safety since 2005? I don't get it.
It's got a safety component to it, by the way. Anytime a player is being assisted by someone, something bad can happen. But no, they're not dealing with that. We know how they go with all those things. So, you know, one of the officials was kind of disheartening when I asked him about it, and he said, well, you know, you really can't prove we're assisting the runner.
I go, what?
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. You look just like me when he said it to me.
What in the hell? I guess our, you know, my lying eyes get in the way of what I'm watching, Pat.
Yeah,
what are your
thoughts? Don't let facts get in the way of anything. So it's kind of interesting. Maybe it's the way our whole country is. You can say anything in front of a mic and tell the world that's true. So, we can't tell if he's assisting the runner. Who the hell else is he assisting? We're waiting for the ball to cross the goal line.
Let's go back to this kickoff.
Yeah.
All right. So they're going to kick it off from the 35 where they kick it off now. Touchbacks, fair catches are not allowed.
Nope.
You can have a touchback, but a touchback brings the ball out to the 35. So help me out here. If I kick it 7 yards deep in the end zone, is the returner allowed to catch it and take a knee?
He's not going to touch it. I think he's just going to let it go in. It's called a touchback.
Right.
Once it goes into the end zone,
it's a touchback.
It's a touchback. And so it's going to the 35. So this is why I never wanted the kicker at the 35. You got the wind behind you at an outdoor stadium. It's going to be hard not to have it fly into the end zone. This, in my mind, they should be kicking off from the 25.
And let them have the full leg and let the chips fall where they may, right?
Yeah. But they're too close. You're in Denver. Think about Denver. You know, you're going to get touchbacks and balls on the 35. And if you, and I know you guys do this, if you study start points for teams, the difference between when it was on the 20 and the 25, that extra 5 yards increased the probability of scoring by a significant amount. If you're putting the start on the 35, David, how far before you're in field goal range?
Well, exactly. That's why. So now with this new kickoff rule, we're going to have a lot more higher, shorter kicks trying to land it right around the goal line, the 2, 3, 5 yard line, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. And then the guys can't move from the 40. They're across midfield. The 10 tacklers are on the 40. The ball's caught at the 3. Now they can start running.
Correct. And so Brad Seeley, former NFL special teams coach, who I had on, I talked about him with you guys last week. He thinks that's where all the penalties are going to be. Guys on the cover unit moving too early and reacting to the blockers who might start to move. So it's going to be, and the last thing we need are another special teams play with flags. Don't you feel like when they're getting ready to punt or kick off, the officials put their hand on their flag because they know they're going to use it before the play is over? So the last thing we need is that, a flag on these plays. And I don't think they've ironed out all that stuff either.
Pat, can the officials handle the play? And I'm not trying to be flippant here. With what's going on here, it sounds like that puts a lot of pressure on the officials in a lot of different ways for this kickoff play.
Correct. And Seeley's major point about your point was, well, they're going to get the preseason to see it and work with it. You know what he said? Nobody's going to show you anything with the kickoff. They're just going to do nothing. And when the opening game starts, there's going to be all kinds of twists and pressure pushes and everything else going on. And who knows what's going to be illegal. And who knows, you know, think about that when you're trying to block a guy who's trying to kick you out so he can get a loop hole to get a guy through and blow up the returner. I said this the other day. We all know how to punt the ball. Why don't you just start the game with a punt and say you have to double the flyers so those guys aren't coming down to blow up the returner. The rush unit and the block unit are 1 foot apart, so there's no injuries there. There's no impact. Start the game with a punt, and I'll tell you where I'd punt from. The ball would be on the 50-yard line, so the punter's back on the 35. The returner is going to catch the ball inside the 10, and he's got to return it. We all know how to do that. And to Mark's point, we all know how to officiate that too. What we're going to go with here in this convoluted scheme is going to be problematic, and everyone will be looking for a penalty. Anyway, enough of that. You know what bothers me the most? What reared its ugly head the other day? Motion, and now a low block is going to be put. They're trying to put it under the umbrella of a crackback. It's not a crackback. It's a low block, which is as legal as could be, but the defense is complaining, give us something, give us something. Very disturbed that might get through.
He's Pat Kerwin. NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. It's weekdays 3 to 7. During the season, he works on CBS's NFL Today show. He joins us twice a week during most of the season, courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
Miller and Moulton on what normally is a football Friday, but, you know, we got madness. But we are detouring to talk a little football on this Friday with one Pat Kerwin of NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. By the way, we'll go through the rest of the day's basketball slate next and, you know, make our picks. But in our Diamond District bonus hour, Carl Semesco, FGC women's coach, they're getting ready for their tournament game tomorrow. And also Jack Ebling, who is tight with Izzo, Campy, covers them, you know, writer, sports talk show host in that area of the country. So he'll join us about an hour from now. Pat, 5 weeks from yesterday, the draft takes place, at least the first round.
Yeah.
Where are organizations in front office right now? 5 weeks out, what is it like?
Well, the board was put up, sketched up there, if you will. I mean, it's all magnets, so you can move things around. The GMs and the coaches are frustrated because every 15 minutes while they're trying to really work on this, someone comes in and says, you know, these visits you keep seeing, this guy's visiting, Odell's visiting, all that stuff. Hey, could you step out here and spend about 20 minutes with the guy? And next thing you know, I used to drive me crazy. You'd be out three times a day. And after a while, you just said, shut it down. We're done with free agency, you know? So, cause they got to get going on the board. And now these pro days are in the way. And for some organizations, they value the pro day a lot more than I would. And they're picking up and going, flying to these places. And I thought it was crazy we had three pro days on the same day. Pretty important teams, right? Alabama, USC, and Ohio State. Weren't they all on the same day?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts, you know. But I'm not a pro day guy, so the more I miss, the better we'll be, because I just want to watch the tape. I don't want to watch a guy in shorts with no pass rush and no coverage throwing balls, and I'm trying to figure out if he can play pro football. It's the biggest waste of time ever. But so pro days are in the way, and then we're going – this weekend's a demarcation line. Basically, the NFL decision makers are going to try to separate themselves from free agency and focus – just on the draft, and they'll say something to the assistant pro guy. Hey, we need two more corners, minimum wage, no signing bonus. If you find those guys, bring them in. You know, that's it. Why? Because they're going to want to cut them if they have to because they found, you know, draft picks or extra draft picks. So you see a lot of guys getting cut in June after OTAs that were veterans that signed. But there is really no harm, no foul deals. And we still have a couple of contracts to figure out. I think sometimes people ask me this, and I realize they don't understand. They think the rookie pool's not part of the salary cap. There's a lot of people who think that. And the rookie pool, based on how high your picks are and how many you have, could be upwards of $11, $12, $13 million of cap space. So if you don't have that kind of space, and we all can look up who doesn't have it, you're still figuring that part out.
How much will the board change between now and the draft, Pat? I mean, is this a 90% set, or is there still a lot of work that's done on these boards?
Yeah, I think it's more like 70% set. And there's things that are going to change the board. Guys are going to get arrested. And that's going to change things. Look what happened to Dak Prescott. He probably had a second round grade. He fell to the fourth after the one episode in a campus bar or something. So that's a part of it. There's medical rechecks. Some guys are going to go back to India and not do well on the medical recheck. So those two things are part of it. And then when you bring them in, right, we're going to have visits. And some of the guys are a disaster on the visit when they bring into your, you know, bring them into your building. And you realize usually what happens, my experience, is the position coach comes down the hall and says, I just spent 2 hours with this dude. He can't learn. And then all of a sudden, we're knocking him down the draft board. Why did we bring him in? We were interested in him. Now the position, I remember it was a linebacker, and our linebacker coach said to me, he looks beautiful. He's 6'4", and he's 250. He runs 4'6". It's perfect, but he can't think. I don't want to coach him. And that happens too. And that's pretty serious when that happens, because that guy didn't just stop at my office. He stopped at the head coach's office and said, don't let that personnel department tell us we got to take this guy. He can't learn. So those are the things that are in the way of solidifying the board, Mark.
Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, CBS's NFL Today Show, our remaining moments. Pat, when you really get down to it, once a player stops playing, what in the world can he do between then and the draft to really help his cause nowadays? They don't work out at the combine. Many NFL teams are discounting pro days. I mean, you know, seriously, you've got the tape from his career. What can a player do between
I'll give you an example of a guy that helped himself, David, and you'll remember the player. Freddie Robbins, remember him? Giants defensive tackle. He was being downgraded for what looked like lack of effort. And if you watched the tape and watched him standing there doing nothing in a game, you would have said, I don't want to coach this guy. He doesn't work. He doesn't hustle. So we brought Freddie in and we said, let's watch this game. So he goes, I know what game you're going to put on. I said, okay, that's the one we're putting on. All right. I said, tell me why you're standing here. He goes, well, they were playing against basically a split back veer. It was an option team. And he goes, he said, I always lined up on the boundary side of the field. Did you notice that, coach? Now he's pinning me down. I go, yeah, I did. You didn't move. We're downgrading you. And he goes, I said, just give me a shot and explain to what you're doing. So he said, we're playing against an option team that had a counter dive. And they wanted everyone to leave and fast flow the pitch and all that stuff. He goes, except me. My job was to sit in a B gap. And if they ran the counter dive, it was all me. And I called his coach and I said, you know what Freddie told me? And he goes, he told you we held him back for the counter dive. I said, yeah. He goes, we did. I said, that kind of information has to get out, because if you watch that tape not knowing that, you're downgrading him for effort. And he goes, yeah, they ran the counter dive about three times. He stopped it all three times. That was his job. Oh, sorry, Freddie. And the Giants took him, and he played good.
But that's one story. So obviously there are more that get downgraded for, you know, I mean, it seems that it's a hell of a lot easier to get downgraded than upgraded in these last few weeks.
Sure it is. And like some of the people that are grading players for websites, and they actually have the nerve to tell you what his grade is when they don't even know the scheme. And they're even more dangerous when they tell you they know the scheme. Man, if you're not in that room and understand it, like Will Backers. Yeah, well, this is a general statement. Will Backers is a run and hit guy. Yes, he is. Yeah, only if you're inserting that safety to that side so he can go running across the top. But if you're inserting the safety on the other side, he has to stand there and wait for the cutback. So when you see the guy not making a lot of plays, they're buzzing in the strong safety and leaving him to hole for the cutback. So if you don't know that, I see some of these grades I hear guys give out. I like, what do you know what you're even looking at? So that stuff is all part of it. And then some of the fronts, like the defensive tackle that I kind of was interested in was the Texas kid, number 90. Uh-huh. But he can only, in my opinion, can only play in a 4-3. So if you're a 34 front, don't waste your time. He's not going to fit for you. If you're a 4-3 team and you never stunt the front, don't waste your time. Where the guy is phenomenal is getting in his stance and looping around the end, crashing down inside, because he's quick as a hiccup. But he's a fit in that defense only.
So he'd fit really well in Tampa. 10 seconds. So yes. The Michigan quarterback's going to have his pro day today. What's the one thing you'd want to see or ask him?
I'd like to see touch passes. Honestly, he's got a little bit of Kaepernick hardball in him. He just likes to gun stuff, which is fine. It has its place. But sometimes you got to throw the ball, loop it over the linebacker and in front of the safety. You got to have touch pass. And you can't remember Kaepernick on the checkdowns to the running back? He'd throw a bullet like 4 yards and they couldn't handle it. So I'd like to see that from him.
He's Pat Kerwin, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains, weekdays 3 to 7 during the season. He's part of CBS's NFL Today Show. Pat joining us once again, courtesy of Pinchers. Pinchers, Tampa to Key West, all points in between. Pinchers, where you can't fake fresh. Pat, we'll talk next week. See ya.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Then the Diamond District Bonus Hour, which I have a couple guests in it, and that's not normal. So you'll want to stick around for that, one with the men's tournament, one with the women. So are you hesitant to talk about day two of the tournament after 3-11s and a 14 winning in day one, or do you feel, no, I'm going to bounce back today. No, it's going to be good.
No, it's over. it's over. I don't recall a time that I've ever done this badly in day one of the tournament.
You can't remember the last time you lost a Final Four team on day one?
No, but not just that. Take that out of it. I lost 7 games yesterday. I had BYU, loser. Drake, loser. Nevada, big loser. Ugh. McNeese, stupid pick. Someone in our Twitch chat room tried to talk us out of it yesterday. I went and looked at the records, and I listened to two yahoos tell me that McNeese was the right pick. Should have listened to Racer in the Twitch chat room for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, he was right. Said they didn't play anybody.
And he kept pounding us. He kept pounding it. The whole, you're wrong. I mean, he doubled, tripled, quadrupled down throughout the entire show.
Good for him.
Came on this morning, said, I tried to tell you guys.
You did.
And you did, and we didn't listen. You did. Bunch of dumbasses.
Yep, that's us. Miller and Moulton. Bunch of dumbasses. That's the t-shirt.
South Carolina, loser. Colorado State, loser. 11 points in the first half. Are you kidding me?
I know. They said to Virginia, listen, we saw what you guys did the other day. We think we can beat it. And they did. Then the funny thing is they were down like, what, 4 late? I mean, you know, scored 11 points in the first half, had a chance to win. Nuts.
and then Kentucky. So it's seven losers yesterday. That's hard to do.
Meanwhile, Bijan Robinson went 16-0.
16-0, David.
That's pretty good.
I would say so.
Pick 3-11s and a 14. Come on, the 14's the pick.
Absolutely. Nothing better than Kenny Smith after saying it was a dynamic loss and Chuck just derailed. Really? That was a dynamic loss, huh? Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, that was rock solid.
I mean, Chuck just destroyed him.
Kenny didn't have a good day yesterday. Kenny seemed like he hasn't watched any college hoops this year. Kenny seemed like he got out of bed and like got his assignment yesterday. Kenny was not bringing it yesterday. Chuck was all over it, though. Chuck, you could tell Chuck had crammed. Chuck's the student who doesn't normally study. Chuck's done some studying. Chuck showed up with some facts. He showed up with Trent's 37-page thesis there.
Well, where do you think he got it?
Right. Well, now, also, next week, Auburn's Chuck good this year. Nothing. Auburn's good this year, so he has more reason to actually pay attention.
You know what? You're right. That's a dadgum good point.
What's Kenny's excuse?
Yeah, really. Carolina's a one seed.
They're always good. I mean, no offense. So, all right. I'm ready.
Well,
I'm ready to tell you which teams not to pick.
All right. We'll do this quickly. People liked it when we did our consensus bracket yesterday. I mean, you know, don't know if we want to bring out those picks again because Mark got outvoted a couple times. He didn't like it and turned out when he got outvoted yesterday, that Moulton and Bally were wrong. So I could see where you're a little sensitive about doing the whole consensus thing. We differ. I mean, the first game today is FAU Northwestern.
I'm going to tell you right now, big boost on FAU. Money line.
I know.
Minus 110 if you want to play FAU straight up.
I like Northwestern too much.
Okay, just letting you. It's a boost, Trent.
I know.
It's a boost on the Hard Rock app.
It's tough to stay away from the boost. I got it. The boost is like low and outside, and I'm always swinging.
Man, the boost is like a girl that you find somewhat attractive, but when she wears this certain outfit, you go, "Wow, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." Anytime when the Hard Rock does the boost, man, you're like, this is the best bet in the world.
Can I bet Florida Atlantic on the boost? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, do whatever you want. The one thing I will say is some serious money's come in on FAU in the last 24 hours.
It's up to 4.5.
Wasn't it 2.5? Wasn't this a smaller? Was it always 4.5? I thought it was less.
It's actually 3.5 on the Hard Rock app. It's up to 4.5 on some other sites.
Then, you know, Baylor Colgate, you know, 314.
Right.
I mean, Scott Drew, the next coach of Kentucky. You know, okay. we got a bunch of 5-12s today. We got three of them today. So San Diego State, UAB. UAB is the 12.
UAB doesn't deserve to be a 12.
Well, and Duquesne didn't deserve to be 11. How'd that work out?
Really well for Duquesne. Not right. So well for Miller.
Exactly. And then the other two 5-12s are late. Wisconsin, James Madison, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon. Got a lot of people all over Grand Canyon.
Let me give you a couple things about UAB just real quick because this is – it kind of goes hand in hand with yesterday. So UAB lost at McNeese, just for what it's worth. They
first
also
game of the year.
They were 0-4 in quad one. They have zero chance against San Diego State, zero.
So to take UAB in the 6.5 is how you conclude that.
Mm-hmm. With a hammer.
So UConn's in action today against Stetson. Would you take Stetson in 26.5?
Why not?
I don't know if I would. You know what I would play in the game, though? I'd play the over-under, and I'd go over. It's 144.5. I think UConn's going to score 100.
You know what we need today? We need a 5 or a 16 parlay.
Really?
That's what we need.
we couldn't pick a winner straight up yesterday. You think we can get 4, 5, 6 in a row, right?
Water finds its level.
Right.
We're due.
Drowning. Yeah, we're drowning, but thanks. All right. I will say, I think Western Marquette's a live play against Western Kentucky's a live play against Marquette. I do, and at 215. You know, just like there were those that thought Oakland was a live play against Kentucky. You know, people who think Colgate against Baylor today, maybe. You know, I really do. I think Western Kentucky against Marquette will be very interesting because of Western Kentucky's tempo.
Well, and just to reiterate a couple things that we brought up earlier in the week, Shaka Smart's 1-7 in his last 8 tournament games. He has exited in the first round 9 straight tournaments. Not first weekend, excuse me. First weekend, 9 straight tournaments. And David mentioned Western Kentucky. They are the fastest team in the tournament. Number 3 in the nation, but the 2 ahead of them didn't make the tournament. So they're the fastest team in the whole thing. They're going to come out swinging.
Marquette got their guard back.
Yep. We got the scouting report last hour from a former Marquette player. He said, word I got is he practiced all week and looks good. Okay, that's big.
Right. They said he would have been healthy enough to play in the Big East tournament, but they held him out specifically to get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Which was smart.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Gators at 4:30 on TBS. That's a virtual pick 'em, you know. Florida's a 1.5-point favorite against Colorado. What do we think of Vermont's chances against Duke? Vermont dominates that conference. Vermont's had a couple of moments in the tournament. Vermont's won 28 games this year, and it's a 4-13. We saw what Samford did for Kansas. Took them to the wire yesterday. We think Vermont's got anything for Duke? Just curious.
I don't.
They're a small team. Their size, so this could be a big game for Filipowski.
That's the problem. Duke has size. Vermont doesn't.
Vermont's one of the worst rebounding teams in the field. They might be dead last. I mean, they don't have size.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Charleston against Alabama. We think Charleston bringing anything to the table?
I don't, because I don't think they have the athletes to keep up with Alabama. I just think Alabama will track meet them right out of the gym.
If there's going to be another 13 seed that pulls off something that Oakland did, I mean, this team loves to run and chuck. They're another fast pace of play. They got shooters everywhere. All 5 guys on the floor can shoot. So if, you know, that is sometimes the recipe for these types of upsets.
But they're running with runners.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're a middle distance runner. They're running against 100-yard dash runners here. And I just don't know if they can keep up.
I think you hit the nail on the head yesterday when you said they just got a bad draw. Because we like Charleston. I think we all believe they could have won a game or two. But Alabama's just a bad matchup.
And the 11s went 3-0 yesterday. Does New Mexico make it a clean sweep? They're a 2.5-point favorite as an 11 against 6-seeded Clemson.
Can Clemsoning be a thing in basketball? It used to be.
Right. It did.
There was a decade in which they would go undefeated in non-conference play, playing the Little Sisters of the Poor, and then come out of the ACC being ranked in the top 25 in the country and get whacked 3-4 games in a row.
Was that
and
the
Trev Alberts game is just before 7 o'clock on TNT, Texas A&M and Nebraska. We'll say, if you listen to this show, don't you have to have more interest in that game? One, how much we focused on the Trev Albert story at the beginning of the week. And two, Lee Sterling picked Texas A&M to go to the Final Four.
He picked Duquesne, too. I'm eating crow with Lee because I told him to save the juice and bet me. Took me down. Now I got a job at a car wash to pay off the debt.
His Final Four adds up to 14, Lee.
Women's tournament also getting underway. By the way, they start before noon. Michigan State, North Carolina. How about that? So they're playing in both the men's and the women's tourney.
David, you will like this too. Michigan State's new president came from North Carolina. So there's that going on as well.
Last game of the night in the women's tournament's A&M Nebraska. So they're playing on the men's and women's side as well. The committee put them against one another, both the men's and women's tournaments. How beautiful is that? Total coincidence, right?
Yeah. Total.
Okay. Total. Mm-hmm. Florida State in action at 5:30 today. They're an underdog in an 8-9 women's game to Alabama. FGCU, the other Florida school in the tournament, they play, I think, 4 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, that's 4 o'clock.
Against Oklahoma in a 5-12 matchup. They've won 3 games as a 12 in their history, including each of the last 2 years. And they're getting 7.5. Just saying. You can make your boost play just as long as you put some money on
it. It's already in.
Tomorrow. Okay,
that,
good.
That went in a few days ago.
Good. All right. You know, we bet women's NIT. We bet the tournament. You know, we're delinquents. You know, we place our bets. So that's what we got. Okay, come on now. $20. You got to pick an upset.
Grand Canyon.
So that's yours.
Yeah, you want me to pick a upset? I will pick
Grand Canyon. That's a 12. That's good. That's fine. You know, I need you to pick an upset. Trent, $20. One upset by seeding.
Western Kentucky.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Your one upset's going to be a 15?
I've talked myself into it. I didn't pick it. I didn't pick it in my bracket, and it's too late to change it. So I'm not super confident in it, but I'm going to be locked into that game.
Wow.
David, you have spun straw into gold. I think this is a horrible matchup for Marquette, all things considered. Yes, they got the kid back. Who knows? I know we got inside track with – our guest letting us know that he's all right.
Marquette's going to the Final Four. Just despite the two of you.
Shaka Smart, 1-7 in his last 8 tournament games. 1-7.
All right. It's funny. I think this team, actually, if they can get past the first round, like, I don't think Duke wants any part of Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin will push Duke all over the court. I don't think Duke's a tough team. I mean, you have former Duke players saying they're not a tough team. I think Duke can be pushed around. I think Wisconsin in the second round would push Duke around. But my upset, $20, give me James Madison.
Nice.
Against the Badgers.
We got to get a 12-5.
Well, we don't have to. Didn't get one last year. But I'm betting that we get one this year. We don't go 2 years in a row without a 12 beating a 5. We got 3 shots at it today.
Both James Madison and Grand Canyon getting 5.5 in their respective 12-5 matchups.
Our poll question at that, Mark Miller, the David Moulton, and Miller_Moulton. John Calipari's buyout's $33 million. What do you think Kentucky's going to do? Cut them loose? Keep them? The vote, very 50-50.
And a lot of voters.
Yes, and keeping him, beginning to edge out in front. It's not your money. What are you worried about? Bonus hour with guests is next.